So we are in the middle. We are finishing up pasuk tes. We discussed that she was given the seven aros haruyos loses lavi beis hamelach. Esther was given seven young servants, and we learned yesterday that she used these servants in order to keep track of time, the significance of time. Each one was given a name which captured the essence of the day of creation, and she counted the days of the week through these seven servants, and she kept track of time. She knew when it was Shabbos. Now the question is, why did she, besides all the other things we said yesterday, it's not on? I'm sorry. Question is, why did she need seven servants? Why was she so makbid to have seven servants and can't keep track of time, keep track of Shabbos? So one of the answers I've seen given is because everything she was doing now was a response to what happened before. Why did Vashti? Why was she killed? What is it? So we learn in the pasuk that the Achar Hadvarim Ela Achashverosh remembered Vashti, the Esasher Ososa, the Esasher Nigzar Oleha. It was clear to the people living in the palace, people who had some intelligence, that it was Mida Keneged Mida. Vashti, she took Jewish girls, she forced them to work naked on Shabbos. And as punishment for that particular sin, Eis Asher Asasa, the Eis Asher Nigzar Lecha, Mida Keneged Mida, she was forced to be brought naked in front of Achashverosh on Shabbos Bayom HaShvi'i. So Shabbos played a very significant part in the punishment, in the Mida Keneged Mida of what happened to the previous queen. Therefore, when you come in as a new queen, the first thing you take care to do with diligence is Shabbos. If the previous queen lost her life because she was disgraced to Shabbos, she took the Jewish girls and had them work in public, naked, on Shabbos, so she was very makbid, at least in her personal life, to make sure she observed Shabbos. She observed Shabbos in a dignified way. Okay, so that is one idea. Now, Vayishanecha, this is an interesting Gemara. The Gemara is Vayishanecha. Vayishanecha means she was given the best food. As we mentioned the drasha, the monosecha, she was provided with the best food. In fact, there is a three-way machlokes in the Gemara, what exactly Esther ate in the palace. Okay, the Gemara says, my ochla Esther, kishachayi bebeis hanashim, eitzel hamelech, achashverosh, what exactly did she eat? So the Gemara says, Gemara quotes this pasuk, Vayishaneha v'yesna aroisecha l'toiv beis hanashim omar rav shechila machol Yehudi. She had a kosher diet. How was she able to get away with having a kosher diet and not revealing that she was Jewish? Okay, that's a mystery. It's not so far-fetched today. Okay, but it says even more. Kosher. So, I mean, today there are many goyim, this is a fact. The OU likes to talk about this all the time in their marketing campaigns, is that many goyim only want kosher. There are many goyim out there that will only eat products that bear an OU because they think it was blessed by the rabbi. They want a blessing. They think it's fresh. They think it's sanitary. They think it's sanitary. It's sanitary. They are higher. If it's kosher, that automatically means that there are higher standards in cleanliness and in health. And it's true. That is an actual fact that a kosher facility has a greater degree of cleanliness. So perhaps she was able to get over the kosher diet by saying that she wants to eat kosher because kosher has been blessed by the rabbi and everything is clean, everything is good. And so that's one opinion in the Gemara. Shmuel says she'achila kidleich dechazire. She ate chazer. Mamish chazer. She ate. It was an oinus. She had no choice. But to eat non-kosher food, even to eat chazer. But that's a bit perplexing because the Gemara says that Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem protects tzaddikim from being nichshol in averos. Lo yu'une letzadik kol ovon. Hashem does not allow a tzadik to suffer to do an avera. And the Gemara is the question, is it really true? We find all over that tzadikim do averas by accident. So the Gemara says it means in eating. Hashem will always spare tzadik from eating non-kosher food because non-kosher food is metamteim halev. Non-kosher food enters into your system, enters into your blood. You're taking something non-kosher, becomes part of your essence, part of your physical being. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects tzaddikim. Difficulty is, it's not so. We see over here that Esther, according to Shmuel, Shmuel says explicitly, nothing to talk about, that she ate kidlei chazere. So this is indeed a very big difficulty, how to reconcile the Gemara, lo yu'une la tzaddik kolavon, and yet we see here Esther was nichshol in eating non-kosher food. I mean, it's even more bizarre. I mean, after all, she lived with Achashverosh. I mean, what more do you want than that? It's intermarriage. Okay, but that's all part of the mystery. Now, here comes the part that's really no gea. Also, Lach L'maisa, Rabbi Yochanan says, Omar Zarunim, she ate seeds, Zerunim seeds. We learn this from no different than Doniel, Hananya, Mishova, Azarya. There, the Psukim and Doniel actually described the story where they demanded to eat kosher food, and the servant said, "We can't. The king will have my head." So they said, "You take it for yourself. You have good meals. I will eat seeds, and if we'll do a test. We'll see that if in a couple of days, if we don't pass our physical exams, our physicals, then we'll know that we have to eat non-kosher food. But in the meantime, let us try to survive on eating seeds." And it says in the pasuk, "Vayehi hamiltzar nosei es pas bag." I think pas bagam. The nosein lohem zerunim. He gave them ordinary bread and he gave them seeds. So the Gemara of Yochanan says the same thing. Esther vayishanech v'yesnarosnech l'toyv beis hanashim. She was given seeds. From this comes the minhag. It's brought down as a popular minhag. I mean, I'm not. You have to know the minhag of eating different types of foods. That on Purim to eat seeds. Okay, there are many dishes, and I don't know, today everything has changed quite a bit. Today, poppy seeds? Mon. Hamantash. But no one has poppy seeds in Hamantash today anymore. Today it's raspberries. What?
Doesn't
taste good. We have chocolate filled Hamantashen. Okay, but typically the traditional food on Purim is poppy seeds. Is seeds. Why? It comes from this pasuk that we've just learned yesterday. Vayishanech v'yesnarosech l'toiv beis hanoshim. The Gemara, Masechta Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel, Rabbi Yochanan says, she ate zerunim, she ate seeds.
Well, if anything, we don't go on a diet until after Purim.
Well, when it comes Pesach. Pesach is only 3 days later. Okay, now this is a beautiful drush. This is something from the Chassam Sefer. It's last week's parsha, and it's a drush. It's not necessarily MS. I shouldn't say that, but it's a nice little key drush. It's last week's parsha. It says when Yosef, when Paro discovered, when Potiphar discovered that he has in his home a jewel, he has a diamond. Yosef is an ish matzliach, and whatever he does is successful. The pasuk says, "Vayazov kol asher lo biyad Yosef." Potiphar, he saw Yosef was very talented, so he gave over control of his home to Yosef. He abandoned everything that he owned into the hands of Yosef. He let him be in charge. Vilo yada ito meuma. He did not leave with him himself anything. Kiim halechem asher hu oichal. The only thing that Potiphar left for himself was he made lunch. He would go into the kitchen and he took out some bread and butter and he made a sandwich. But everything else in his home, he allowed Yosef to be in charge. Vayehi Yosef yifei toyar. And the next apostle, the end of the Aliyah, was Yifei Toyar Vifei Mareh, had a beautiful form and a beautiful appearance. Interesting that we use the word Toyar in reference to a man. Normally, a Toyar, normally a figure, is something that you use in reference to a woman. You don't talk about a woman. Maybe that's what it says about Yosef as well, Yifei Toyar Vifei Mareh. So Chassam Sofer takes this pasuk and he makes a beautiful drasha based upon what it says here in this pasuk in Megillas Esther and what it says in Sefer Daniel, and he learned as follows: Vayazov kol asher lo biyad Yosef. The master said to Yosef, Yosef, eat whatever you want. You are my servant. I need you to be strong, fit, healthy, to serve, to be healthy. So therefore, whatever you want to order, it's just don't hold back. The menu, here's a menu, order from the most expensive restaurants, Prime Grill, you know, order the best. Don't hold back. So Vayazov kol asher lo biyad Yosef. But the pasuk says, Yosef said, it's okay, the only thing I want to eat is a piece of bread, because everything else is not kosher. The bread, I guess, was kosher. What is the bread? Flour and water. He threw in a match. He threw in a little twig. V'lo yada ito. So he interprets these words not in reference to Potiphar, but he translates these words in reference to Yosef. V'lo yada ito. Yosef did not leave with himself me'uma kim halechem asher hu ochal. Yosef said to Potiphar, thank you, but no thank you. You can take the menu of this tray for restaurants and you can keep it for yourself. I'm not ordering out. I'm just going to eat bread. You can eat bread, you're not going to get protein, you're not going to get vitamins. What's going to be? You're not going to have koyach. You're not going to have koyach to serve in my home. You have over here a staff, 1,000 people that are under your charge. Pasuk says, it didn't make a difference. Vayihi Yosef, yifei toyar vifei mare. He still was beautiful. He still was, which means, it's interpreted to mean, he was healthy, he was strong. So it's exactly what it says over here in this pasuk. Going back to our pasuk, what does it say over here? The pasuk says, Vatitav hanara ve'enov, vatisachese lefonov, vayivahel. Well, the psukim later on go on to say that Esther was the most beautiful of all the women. And even though, even though her diet was changed to eat nothing other than seeds, it did not make a difference. Still, Esther was no seischein for chesed before Achashverosh and for all of the servants. So, similar idea, but it's a very nice drush how he ties it into the pasukim from last week's parasha. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is a very important pasuk. Pasuk Gudlo Higida Esther Es Amav Yes Moiladita Ki Mordechai Tzivo Lecha Sheloi Sagid. She did not reveal her nation. Vyes Moiladita, that she was, Amav means she was Jewish. Vyes Moiladita, that she was related to Mordechai. Why? Ki Mordechai Tzivo Lecha Sheloi Sagid, because Mordechai told her not to reveal. What does Rashi say? Pasuk Yud Asher Loi Sagid. By the way, Vayishaneho, we didn't do the Rashi, Shinoi, so he changed her. Okay, whatever that means. Pasuk Yud and Rashi Asher Loi Sagid Kidei Sheyoimu Shehi Mimishpocha Bezuya Vishalchuha. Now, there are really many, many reasons why Mordechai told her not to reveal. The art scroll, I don't have it here, but the art scroll really goes to town. He lists like a good 5-6 reasons why. But Rashi selected one reason. Rashi, you know, when Rashi says something, Rashi is coming to tell you, is making a major statement. What he's rejecting is more significant than what he says. And he says because Mordechai was hoping that she would be dismissed. She would be dismissed. Good morning, how are you? She would be dismissed. Because it would not be befitting for the king to marry a woman from whom no one knew where she came. She may be a spy. Who knows? Who knows who she is? It'll be scandalous. Can you imagine? Years later, they'll find out who is this woman. She is a criminal. She comes from the mafia, whoever. You just use your imagination, and it will be a disgrace for Achashverosh to be married, for her to be the...
He married her, he knew she was Jewish, that's good.
Well, that's the big mystery. That's the... Seemingly not. That would be because since she's coming in the wake of Vashti, and Vashti was the great-granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, and Vashti's mission in this world was to prevent Jewish people from coming back, from re-emerging, from a resurgence, a rebirth of the Klal Yisrael, and it would seem far-fetched that Achashverosh would go and marry a Jew. I mean, it's just far-fetched. It's not likely. But that's...
Along the lines of Malvin makes a very, I never heard before, he says that if
God didn't want anybody to know who Esther was, even Klal Yisrael, because they would think, first of all, on one level, the first thing he says is that Haman wouldn't have made the Gezerah, and therefore, Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have been brought to do tshuva, because God wanted them to do tshuva, and this way they would say, oh, we got a queen in
the Gemara says this. The Gemara actually says this. We have a queen in the White House.
And there's nothing
we need not worry.
To get scared.
We need not worry. We had this with Senator Lieberman. He almost became the Vice President of the United States. Right? So what would have been had he become the Vice President? Would we have had then the soil? We don't have to worry. So just the opposite. People who are Jewish, you have to worry more.
Right.
Look, Trump has a daughter. Trump has a daughter that's Shomer Shabbos. So Trump. No one knows where that's going, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, Trump went to the...
Kushner, she's married to a Kushner.
Yeah, but right. Trump spoke in front of the Jewish...
Yeah, he said some very, very shocking things. I mean, always the shocking things.
Yeah.
He says, I'm not gonna...
Because I don't take your money.
But he's saying we have over here present, we have a Jewish, someone who was Shomer Shabbos in government. Someone who was Shomer Shabbos, so Rabbi is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to be mispalel. If they knew that they had in the palace a queen that is Jewish, so then they would not be mispalel with a full heart. Nothing to worry about. Esther will not allow it to happen. Okay, but Rashi says something very different. Rashi's focus is, the pshat is, the reason why Mordechai was, Mordechai wanted to save her. Mordechai wanted to retrieve her. He figured that Achashverosh would suspect that she comes from a mishpacha bezuya. It would be a disgrace. It would be scandalous for him to be married to such a woman, and therefore he would release her, and he would get it back. Shem yodeshim mishpachas shaul hamelach hoyu machazikin ba. Because if they found out that she really is the yichus of royalty of shaul hamelach, it does not necessarily mean that he would marry her as queen. Okay, it just means that she would be permanently part of the palace. She would be one of the nashim. She would be retained. Not make her a queen. To make a Jewish woman queen, that would never happen. But since she comes from Shol Hamelech, it would be another medal on his uniform to brag about that he has Malchus.
Yeah, well, didn't want to say that. The Maharal says that the thinking was that if it were known that she was Jewish, then that would attract all kinds of... She'd have a target on her back.
Exactly, like today.
Anti-Semites would be...
Exactly, just like today. Everyone would be out to get you. Everyone would be looking to make trouble. Okay, all the commentators say something they learned very simple. They learned that Mordechai was afraid for her life and afraid for his life and afraid for the Jewish people. If they would find out that she was Jewish, they would quietly silence her. They would quietly kill her. There was no accountability in those days. She's Jewish. What do we need a problem with? We need a Jew. They would quietly, they have to go and she would come out of the palace and she would report what happened. They would kill her. And then when they would make an investigation, who is she related to Mordechai? They would kill Mordechai. Or Mordechai would be distanced. He would lose his position in government. He would lose whatever rights that he had. It would not go well for the Jewish people if they would find out that she was Jewish.
Yosef, why he married her, he immediately married Yosef off to Bas Potipharah.
Yeah, should not find out.
To develop a power base. Potipharah was a very high-ranking official, and by doing that, Potipharah would be on Yosef's side, because his daughter was married to the Mishneh Lamelech. And so that's where he would consolidate power.
Yosef,
because everybody else would want to kill him.
Did Mordechai have Ruach HaKodesh?
Yeah, Mordechai didn't know the master.
Well, we don't.
Pashtus is. I mean, they wrote the Megillah. The Megillah was written with Ruach HaKodesh.
Something was going on.
Okay, that's going to be the next Rashi. Rashi is going to contradict himself in the next pasuk. Rashi is going to contradict himself. Well, I mean, Rashi is going to say that Mordechai realized that something over here is a hashkacha pratis. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has a plan. Hashem has a plan. Dr. Fruchter?
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
I was going to ask the same question.
So I mean, that's natural. Every time we see something, we experience something, we always think about both ways. What is this? Is Hashem trying to punish us? Or is this going to be the beginning of something very special?
What if I aware of the master plan?
At this point, not, obviously. No, definitely not. Definitely not. Mordechai was not aware of the master plan, but Mordechai certainly had emunah, had faith that whatever will be that there is
yet to happen.
Oid chazoin lamoyez. Okay, yeah.
I have a question. It says v'yavkin hamelach b'kidim v'chomadinis malchus v'yigbitzus v'narbis mosarashi says v'yavkin hamelach b'kidim the fee, she called pocket or pocket, you do is like notion like yofa is shib and everything else. So how is it possible that they did not know that she's Jewish?
Just because they knew the beautiful tzun, just because they knew the beautiful woman.
First of all,
the reason why they did not know she was Jewish was because she was raised by Mordechai as an orphan.
Then this guy, this pocket, knew that she lived by Mordechai.
She knew that she was an adopted daughter, but just because she was an adopted daughter,
that she's Jewish?
No, that's not Jew. That doesn't mean you have Jewish blood.
Just could have investigated further. No, I mean,
no, he didn't. Obviously, they didn't.
He could have investigated.
Maybe not. Not everything is known. Not everyone is on the grid. Not everyone is on the grid.
He was related to ISIS.
Passport didn't show. Not everyone has a social security number. Okay, and not everyone is on the grid. Let's see. Next possible. So therefore, now over here, she did not. This is very important. Asher loy sagit. Chazal will give her high credit. The pressure. We do not have any understanding of the pressure that she was under. Can you imagine the interrogations that she went through? Who knows, maybe they tortured her. We don't know what went on, but the psychological pressure to reveal from where she came from, Chazal tell us, was more than we can fathom. And the fact that she was able to be omed in this nistoid and listen to the command of Mordechai is where Chazal give her high credit. She scores all the way on top. Yeah?
It is said that she took after her ancestor, Rachel, who grasped the pellet of silence. She
beautiful.
Kept quiet. Binyamin kept quiet about what he knew about the sale. He didn't tell his father, and so on. So there's this line that of being able to keep a secret that comes.
Shasika, the koyach of leimatzel leguf toiv mishasika.
As Yehuda.
He's the big talker.
That's the thing about Yosef. He's Mekadoshim Shemayim B'Seser.
And B'Farhez, yeah.
And Yehuda Mekadoshim Shemayim B'Farhez, which he gets from his mother.
Okay, Chazal also see in this an allusion to Torah Shebal Pem. A lot of Purim comes down to Kimu Vikiblu, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar. There was a double Matan Torah. Torah was given at Har Sinai and was given again at the time of Purim. What's the difference? The difference is at Har Sinai we have a contrast. On one hand, Klal Yisrael said Naseh V'Nishma, but on the other hand, Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. So how do we reconcile that contradiction? The answer is there were Makabel Torah Shebech Saf. Naseh V'Nishma was on the Torah Shebech Saf. We'll do the basics. But Torah Shebal Peh, all the fine points, all of the details that we have to fulfill, which includes the mitzvahs of the Chachamim, Lo Yosim, Kol Hashayim, Yomim, Usmol, the Mesorah, that was too much for Klal Yisrael to accept the Talmud and Torah, and they were forced into an acceptance. Kofa Aleim Har Kigigis. But at the time of Purim, due to the Ahavas Hanes, Chazal say they were re-mekabel Torah Shebal Peh with will, not against us. So Matan Torah was incomplete until the time of the Purim miracle. At the time Matan Torah was Naseh V'Nishma Torah Shebech Saf. At the time of the Purim miracle was Naseh V'Nishma on the Torah Shebal Peh. The commentators note that this idea is alluded to already here in the beginning of the Megillah, because Mordechai was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. And when Mordechai was giving instructions to Esther, it's k'ilu he's making a new takana. I have a new mitzvah. I have a new mitzvah to teach, new mitzvah. You're going to light Hanukkah candles. I have a new mitzvah, you're going to have a mitzvah of Erev Tehumin. You're going to have a mitzvah of whatever, you any type of mitzvah derabbanan. Mordechai, by telling her, told her, Lo higida Esther, as Amavi Eslanta, ki Mordechai tziva lech asher lo sagit. There were a million reasons why Esther could have convinced herself that she should tell the people in the palace who she is. She had all the reasons in the world. She was also abducted. She was away from Mordechai, I think, for 5 years, it says. She was away from 5 years. And the only reason why she did not give in to her under pressure and to reveal is only because if Mordechai told her not to do it, I'm not going to do it. Even though, to me, it doesn't make any bit of sense. This is the ultimate emunas chachamim. on something which
difficult to see that they didn't have a CIA that knew she was related. He was a
they didn't.
Person.
The guy that found them.
Life was not necessarily as sophisticated as this day. Even today, the CIA, they know everything. Notice just because on television they make it
but
sound like they know everything.
A high-profile
what?
They knew he wasn't like a cop.
But he picked her up off the street. When they went into exile, he took her from Yerushalayim. We're going back 74 years. She was born. She was an infant. He took her. He took her from Yerushalayim. He took her off the street. He took her off the street from Yerushalayim, and he took her down to Bavel, and they went to Elam. He said, "I found her. I was walking on the road as a refugee from Yerushalayim into Bavel, and I found this child lying on the street. I picked her off the street. I don't know who she is. She could be a gypsy. What do I know?" That this, he really knew that this was his cousin. He didn't tell that, and that was a secret. And he obviously told this to Esther at some point in time, but it was not public knowledge. And the CIA and all of these branches of government did not know. And Esther was under enormous pressure to reveal this information. And Esther, under normal circumstances, would have given in to the pressure. It's only because her cousin told her, "Don't tell." This, and who is her cousin who's telling her? The Rosh HaSanhedrin, the rabbi. The rabbi said not to do it, even though to me it doesn't make one bit of sense. I have Emunas Chacham. The Gemara gives the classic example of Emunas Chacham, where a number of the Amorim, they came to a town and they said that tomorrow we're going to make matzah. Everyone, and the only allowed to use for matzah, Mayim She'lanu, which means water which has stayed overnight. Lina. Lina means it delayed. It delayed overnight. If you take water from the well, the water is too cold. It can cause the dough to turn into chametz, the flour to turn into chametz prematurely, or it can be too hot. It can cause it can have an effect on the flour and become chametz. So the solution is, Chazal said, you have to let the water sit in a container after you remove from the well for 12 hours overnight, and then the water becomes lukewarm, and there's no concern that the water will cause the flour to turn into chametz. So the Rabbanon came to a city. They saw the people were Ameratzim, they were ignorant, and they weren't so ignorant, and they said, "You have to have Mayim Shalanu for the matzah," and they made this announcement, and the next morning they saw outside their front door were all of these people lining up with pots and pans. And they said, "What's going on? Why are there pots and pans and everyone lining up?" The rabbi said, "Mayim Shalanu," and Shalanu means our water. Which they interpreted to mean that we will provide the water. So they said, "That's not what Mayim Shalanu means. It means water that has been removed from the well for 12 hours." And they asked them, "What were you thinking? Why in the world would you think that?" "We didn't understand it. It didn't make one bit of sense. But if this is what the rabbi says, this is what we do. Emunas Chachamim." And Chazal give these people in high scores. They give them the lavish praise of Emunas Chachamim. This is applied here to Esther Hamalka. Chazal make that same comment on Esther Hamalka in this very pasuk. Lo higida Esther esamavi esmoladato ki Mordechai. Why? Not because she wanted. She wanted to reveal. It would have made her life a lot simpler. It would have been a lot better for her. But Mordechai told her, "Don't tell." Emunas Chachamim. And this is the Hagdama to the Megillah, because the end of the Megillah is Kimu v'kiblu, kimu masha kiblu kvar, a Kabbalah of Torah Shebal Peh, and the bread and butter of Torah Shebal Peh is Emunas Chachamim. That is, and this is where it all starts. Okay, let's now see the Targum Pasuk Yud. Lo Chavsa Esther. The Targum elaborates a bit. Some of the Targum are very short, some a little bit longer. Lo Chavsa Esther. Esther did not speak. Chavsa means to talk. She did not talk. Yos Amar reveal her nation Visul Dusa Mitul, because the Mordechai Pakta. Mordechai issued the command to Lo Sichavei not to speak. He told her gag order, don't, no talking. Umitul Ma Pakta to Lo Sichavei. What's the reason? The Targum asked the question, what's the reason why Mordechai gave her this command not to reveal the reason? Mitul, because to Chosha believe in Mordechai because of the following. Not like what Rashi says. Vashti the avadit yikaro l'nafsha. Vashti, she took honor for herself. she said, Amam Miyuchesses, how dare you, the king, tell me to come and appear before you. Don't call me Vashti Hamalka. My name is Hamalka Vashti. Don't tell me to come before you. Vulot saw this. The Yesei Lemechaneshu, for she did not want to reveal, to show her beauty. Lemechaneshu for Lemalka. Uli Shalitaya Don. And because of her authority.
It means she shouldn't reveal her royal lineage.
Ule shalitaya don yasa dinin bishin the kotel yasa. And because of her authority, it brought about her downfall. Why did Vashti fall? Why was she executed? Because she took upon herself her authority. She told him, I come from royal lineage, I'm the great granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore don't tell me what to do. That led to her demise. So therefore, the same thing is going to happen to you, Esther. If you're going to tell them that you come from Shol HaMelech, they're going to look at you differently. And that's going to result. They're going to look at you differently. You're going to behave differently. And ultimately, the same thing is going to repeat itself, and you're going to be killed. V'lomo lo chavias Esther amo desul duso dilmo. So here he's repeating there's some verbosity in the Targum. So why then? Now that we understand why he took note of what happened to Vashti, so therefore the same thing is going to be true for you. V'lomo lo chavias Esther amo desul laduto. Dilma Ragizala Malka Vikotula. He'll get angry at her and he'll kill her. Umesheze Ama, and also the people will be killed. Umesheze Ama Dihi Mine, they'll also be wiped out. Her people, the nation from where she comes, will also be punished. They'll say this queen is a troublemaker, and therefore we have to kill all of the people as well. Therefore, Mordechai told her, "Do not reveal your nation and your lineage." Okay, so this is so it's a little so it's not the same exact thing as Rashi. Rashi says there's a technique that maybe she will be spared from being taken as the queen. She will be released if Achashverosh thinks that she comes from a mishpacha bezuya. Targum is more pragmatic. Oh, not pragmatic, so that's a little different. Is that if she's going to be, it will be revealed that she is a queen, it may lead to her death. Just like Vashti, that discovery led to her death. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis. Uvyagia, when it arrived, Tar. Tar is an unusual word. It's in the Persian word which means the time. Okay, Tar. Interesting, why is the word tar mean the time, the zman? When the time came for every girl to go before Achashverosh, this took place at the end of 12 months. Every woman was prepared for 12 months. Because that's the amount of time it took them to fulfill the cosmetic treatments.
Did we do it all?
Back to Yeralef. Ubechol yom v'yom Mordechai mislech lefnei chatzar beis hanoshim l'adas es shalom ester ma'ye osiba. Every single day Mordechai would appear before the chatzar beis hanoshim to know the peace of Esther, Umayi Osibon, what has been done with her. Rashi Pasuk Yud Alef. Now here Rashi is going to contradict himself in the previous Rashi. Ubechol yom v'yom. Obviously, it's not really a contradiction. The first thing Mordechai said, don't tell. Maybe they'll let you go home. But then when he saw that she's not going home, she's there, he came to realize there must be a master plan. And Rashi here equates Mordechai with David. Ubechol Mayi Osibon. Ze'echad mishnei tzadikim. Mordechai was one of two tzadikim shenitan lohem remez Yeshua, to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided a hint of salvation. Who are the two people that are equated? David uMordechai. David shenemar ganes harivi esadov hika avdecha. David went out one day to take care of the sheep, and he was attacked by a lion and a bear. And David miraculously was able to kill them both, one with the other. David realized that this koyach, this supernatural power that he was blessed, was something special. And he right away realized it's a gift. it's a gift for to fulfill a greater mission. What was the greater mission? To kill Goliath. So when the opportunity presented itself, when they were looking for volunteers to go out and kill Goliath, David said, Hashem has provided me with a remez, has given me a hint that I'm meant for the job, and that was number one. Number two, and that by killing Goliath, that's what led David to becoming to some degree Melech. He had a relationship with Shaul, he married Michal Bas Shaul, and at least the salvation came to Klal Yisrael that Goliath Sachiti was destroyed. Omar Loba. So David said to himself, the only reason why Hashem provided me with this supernatural strength was in order to fight with Goliath and to spare Klal Yisrael from the insult that they are suffering from Goliath. The Chaim Mordechai, Omar, Lo Ira Latzadeke Zo, Shetilokach Lemishkavnach. It cannot be that this holy woman, it cannot be that she's been taken to the Mishkav of Anachri. Ella Shasida Lakum Lo Shia Li Yisrael, that she's going to be instrumental in saving Klal Yisrael. Lefich, therefore, who Mechazer Lodas, every single day he wanted to know the details of the master plan, and he would inquire, he would visit the palace and visit the location where she was living. Ladas ma yehe b'soifo, what's going to be the end? So here Rashi is teaching us a yisod. There are two people that we compare one to another. David with Mordechai. Obviously David is the leader of Shevet Yehuda, and the last great leader of Shevet Binyamin, the Ishimini, is Mordechai. And Binyamin and Yehuda, the Malchus, these two are partners in the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, and both of them, we learn they have a midah. See, it's not just a one-time event. History repeats itself. The talent, the quality of leadership is, they had the whole Aguda Convention. What was the theme of the Aguda Convention? Leadership. So what should one of the speeches have been? This Rashi. Who are the two leaders in Klal Yisrael? Binyamin and David. And what is Rashi telling us? What is the quality of leadership? Good speaker? Wealthy? Famous? What's the quality? To have the talent to pick up hints. To pick up remozim. To be able to sense that if this is happening, it must be there's something bigger. There's something bigger yet to come. To have the chush, that sensitivity, to see where salvation is sprouting forth from, and to nurture that potential and develop it. This is the gadlus of two individuals, Mordechai and David. David was a farmer, was a shepherd, something happened, he had the koyach. If it wasn't David, if it was someone else, he would not have made nothing of it. My lucky day, I was able to fight off a lion and a bear. But David had the koyach. This happened for a reason. Let me put this in my back pocket and let me come back to it at a later point in time. That is the quality of leadership that is needed to succeed. Mordechai, exactly the same thing. Something happened. This woman was abducted. So the average person will just make nothing of it. Listen, things happen. Bad things happen to good people. What do you expect? That's the way the world goes. Let's get past it and move on with life. Not Mordechai. Uvichol yoim v'yoim Mordechai misalech lefnei chatzar hamelech. Pick up on something, focus on it, put it aside, and prepare for the future. This is the quality of leadership. Okay? This is our speech for the Aguda Convention. Okay? Okay, so now, okay, this is, Now there's a beautiful Gra, very popular Gra. All the Swami here quote this Gra. The Gra asks the question, what's the repetition? Lodas es shalom ester, that's the first thing you want to do. Number two is mayi oseba. So he says there were two primary concerns. Number one, he was afraid that she would lose her mind. Esther, who was brought up in the Beis Yaakov, a nice Yiddish tochter, and here is being taken to Achashverosh, a place of pritzos. You can lose your mind. You can literally lose your mind when you are. It's a culture shock. You've been taken out of the ghetto. You've never seen, this is a very big problem. Among Hasidim have this problem. They live in an extremely sheltered life, and when the time comes to go out to make a parnasa, they're exposed to things They never heard. They never experienced. Someone once told me a story that a girl was getting married. How so? She must have been 18, 19 years old, and they were teaching her the laws of Hilchos Nida. So she asked very innocently, do Goyim also become Nidais? Do Goyim also have a cycle, have a period? When you're living in extreme, this is like a withered girl, but someone who lives in a very sheltered environment by choice. That's the nature of what? No, it's not what she meant. She meant the women, the non-Jewish girls also get periods. And this story was being related about a girl who was, you know, you see her, you talk to her, she's a sophisticated girl. A Baruch Hashem, they succeeded, her community succeeded in sheltering her from the outside world. But now it gets very dangerous. When you're suddenly exposed, you get a little older, and you go out into the world, and you learn a lot of strange things are happening out there. The culture shock can be very dangerous, and it can cause a person to lose their mind, to have a very bad effect.
The Talmud Torah had Rabbi Gil Pearl speak.
Yeah,
from people coming, girls boys coming from yeshivas, exposed to secular colleges, what goes on campus, and it was very interesting. He says that the Shelton, they expect, you know, things to be there, but it's very liberal in college. There's a lot of sex, alcohol, drugs, and if they're not exposed, it's basically the ones who survive are more the ones who are leaders. They're able to withhold, control themselves. If they're not leadership quality, they have a lot of trouble on campus.
Exactly. Look, most colleges today, you have to dorm is mandatory. You must, at least the first...
Fewer.
What?
Fewer and fewer. Often having their first graduates that did it online. They're looking for the difference in the
studying.
They have to actually dorm. They actually have to stay on campus. And most of the dorms, at least you have an option, are co-ed dorms. Which means in the same room, boys and girls sleep.
Same floor.
Some the same floor.
Well, that happens.
And some, no. And some the even... I mean, it's shocking, right? It's shocking. You go tell this to a yeshiva boy, he's like, what? Okay, even the same floor. But in a lot, some colleges, you have an option of even this. It's shocking. Okay? Share the same bathrooms. It's like, it's really...
Servers have different floors.
Okay.
I'm going back to school.
But these... So the Gross says he was concerned with her mental Shalom Esther. He was concerned with her mental state of being. The shock, the culture shock from going from what she was accustomed to being now locked up for 5 years in this place can cause her to lose her mind. Therefore, every single day he wanted to go find a report as Shalom Esther, her mental state of being. Next is Umayi Oseba. If you could not make the cut, you were killed. What are they? They're going to send you back home and report. And then report. Many it said the Gemara says that people who did not, or if they found out that she was Jewish, let's say Esther could not withhold the son, she would reveal that she's Jewish. He was afraid that Mayi Osiba, they might just put her life to an end, for various reasons. So either she's alive and maybe she's not in the healthiest frame of mind, and even if she and maybe even worse, so Mayi Osiba, she may have been killed. Okay, the next point is the word mishalech. A lot of the commentators, they like to play with the word mishalech. There are two, there are this choylech and mishalech. Sometimes it says in the pasuk choylech, and sometimes it says mishalech. What's the difference? So the commentators tell that when choylech means when you travel just for no purpose, there's no enjoyment in the traveling, it's just to reach your destination. If I have to get from here to California very quickly, I gotta get there. I don't care how I get there. I don't care if I fly first class, I fly this airline, that airline. The trip is not important. What's important is I reach my destination in 3 hours. I have to be in California in 3-4 hours from now. Get me the 6 hours? No.
5 and a half?
Really? Takes so long? Okay, it's 5 and a half. 6 hours. I tell my secretary, I have to be in California in 6 hours. By hook or by crook, get me there. Get me on a military plane. Get me on a helicopter. I don't know how you get me there. Just get me there. I have to get there. I don't care how I go. I have to be there. So you go. Then, I have to, then you want to travel. I don't just want to have to get there. In fact, it's not even so important to get there. I just want to have the experience of going on the first Dreamliner to go from New York to California. I want to fly on the Concorde. The trip is the experience. Like, I know my nephews and niece, they live in Lakewood, little kids. It's an experience. What's the Chalamoy trip? To take them on the subway. They come over here to New York. Oh, let's go on the subway. We'll go from Avenue J to King's Highway and back. That is the Cholamoyim trip. It's a novelty, right? You live in Lakewood, you're 3 years old, you're 4 years old, you never saw a train, you never saw a metro car, you never saw the whole experience. To stand on the platform and see the train coming, wow, what an experience. The trip is the experience. When we use the word hoylech, you can test this in Tanakh, it has a connotation. What counts is the destination. The destination is what counts. Just get me there. The hoylech, it's a necessary evil. The only way I can reach my destination is through traveling on, using public transportation or going over the bridge. But when the word mishalech is used, it means it's not just the destination. The travel, the trip is also significant. Ki Hashem Elokecha mishalech bekerev machanecha. Hashem doesn't just journey bekerev machanecha. Hashem, he accompanies us. His presence is significant. Hashem doesn't need to reach a destination. In fact, there is no purpose for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to travel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's makom is in the Kisei HaKavod. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming? The experience of traveling with us is significant. Ki Hashem Elokecha mishalech bekerev machanecha. Hashem is traveling with us. Hashem doesn't need to go anywhere. He doesn't need to go anywhere, but Hashem wants to come with us. He wants to accompany us. He wants to be with us. If you have an option of being, of tagging along with an important person, even though you have no need to reach that destination, of course you're going to travel with that important person just for the experience of being in their vicinity. So it's the same thing. So here it says, Mordechai mishalech. Mordechai had no business in the palace. He's coming to the palace. I'm coming here. What am I coming here for? Mordechai, what would you like today? Yeah, you have official business? No, I'm just coming sightseeing. Mishalech, he's just there to pick up information of what is going on. That is why the word mishalech is selected and not the word hoylech. If Mordechai was going to the palace because he had business, official business, then we would use the word hoylech. But Mordechai was not going for any official business. If he had official business, it was all make-believe. It was just so all the commentators right away asked. They all asked that same exact question. That didn't they suspect that Mordechai was special? What is he hanging out by the Beis Hanoshim? What's a big Rosh Hashiva? What is a big Rosh Hashiva with a kapata and a Hamburg hanging out in front of a ladies' store, right? A store where they sell ladies' good clothing. What? He went about witchcraft to protect it from all evil influences. So it's a very difficult question. So the Midrash basically says that Enechlam had to disguise himself. He had to make up some convoluted reason. He had to make up some reason. Now they actually use this. They there's another answer which also ties into the word mishalech. The word mishalech is used when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mishalech b'soch hagon, and he said to Kayin, he said to Kayin, to Adam. Well, who said to Ayeka? To Adam, Ayeka. So there it says, Hashem was mishalech b'soch hagon. And the question, why does it say the word mishalech? So the Medrash there says because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to frighten Adam. Let me read you the words. I have it over here.
English word is meander.
Meander?
Yes. Okay. English means it's
dreitzach. Oh, okay. That I know. That word.
Hanging around.
The Medrash says, here it is. Vayishmu es kol Elokim mishalech vagon. Adam and Chava heard, after the eighth from the eighth sadas, they heard the kol Elokim mishalech besoch vagon. So the Medrash says, mahu loshon mishalech. Should it not say, vayishmu es kol Elokim hoylech besoch vagon? Same question. So the answer, the Medrash is a different answer. The answer is, we perish. The end is, shahayim mikapetz v'hoylech. Hashem did not appear in one location. Hashem jumped around. Or the sound was an echo. Because the Medrash goes on to explain that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would speak directly to Adam and Chava, they would be frightened. They would be terrorized. To see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of you, whatever that means, suddenly, you could not withstand such a mara. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he encountered them in a roundabout way. Indirectly. He spoke to them through an echo, through a baskol, in order not to frighten them so they would be able to absorb his appearance. Same thing, Mordechai, it says, mishalech, for that same exact reason. If Mordechai would come every single day to the palace, knock, knock, what's doing? What are you doing here, Mordechai? This is ladies only. This is for women. It doesn't. First of all, what is it? Even a regular person doesn't. It's not appropriate. And certainly a Talmud Chacham, the Rosh HaSanhedrin. What are you doing over here? So that's why it has to say Mordechai Nishalech. He came there in a roundabout way. He had these excuses why he is here. Official business. He came up with crazy reasons why he was able to frequent this location so that he can indirectly find out what's doing with his cousin, his wife, his daughter, Esther Hamalka. Okay, let's go on. Let's see the Targum. The Targum, before we put the Targum out, the Targum, I'll tell you the Targum Sheni says. The Targum Sheni says he wanted to hear about the miracles that were happening every single day. That's the Targum. Esther, wherever Esther goes, the miracles happen. It's good Baba Mises. So he came to the palace every single day to hear. Do you know what happened? This happened, that happened. It was interesting. It was entertaining to be there to discover, to learn about the miracles of Esther. Okay, let's now see the regular Targum, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pata Uvachol Yomo V'Yomo Mordechai Havim. Now here's a new interpretation, a whole new Mahalach, and Nishalech means he would daven. Whole new interpretation. Uvachol Yomo V'Yomo Mordechai Havim Mitzalei, he would pray. V'Azal Kodom Dorota, before the Dira, the D-base Nishai, the location where the women were being kept, Lemida, to know, Yos Shlomo de Esther Uma Is Avedba. The key word here is prayer. Every single day Mordechai would come to pray on behalf of the safety of Esther Hamalka. Well, she was not yet the Malka.
Pasuk would be that he's paying someone off to find that information. That's what.
Possibly, he had a technique without being informed all the his technique, all the details. But it does say that this was something that was done daily. It was done. Now, there's also another medrash that says something very, 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 really very significant. Is that the reason why the miracle happened to Mordechai was because of this pasuk? He took an interest to care for Esther every single day. The average person would have just abandoned her. Listen, she's in the palace, she has everything that she needs, she'll be okay. I'll check up once a month, once a year, once in 6 months. Why should I put my life at risk?
Because he cared for us.
Oh, but his care was a care that was an ongoing care that was l'malo miderechad. It was something that was extra special. It was extra special. It was a whole... Okay, this is what the Medrash says. You're right. He raised it for 75 years, but still, everything is said and done. The Medrash makes this comment, is that because Mordechai, he went out of his way, uvichol yom v'yom.
I mean, it was a high-risk situation. Any day, at any given time, so of course he had to stay on top of it.
But the fact that he went to the extreme, uvichol, we don't appreciate the depth of these words. Uvichol yom v'yom. He did not miss a beat.
This is what the Medrash ends up saying, that this is like a schar.
In reward.
Therefore it says,
l'chol zaro. He was instrumental. He, since he was Darish the Shalom of the individual, maybe you want to learn, he was Zeicha to the Shalom of the Klal Yisrael. It's like the Avos, they were shepherds. Hashem, David was a shepherd. Hashem first tests you if you care for the animals. If you care for an animal, then you're fit to care for other human beings. He did not give up hope for the individual. At this point in time, he had no idea there's going to be an Eis Tzara, there's going to be a Gzera, and that's going to be instrumental, and he, Mordechai, is going to be elevated to a position of power. He didn't see all of this coming. He had no way this can possibly come. Where did the Midos, where did he earn the Zuchus that this that this uvechol yom v'yom Mordechai mislech lefnei chatzanach. I once heard someone say the following. This is total conjecture. It was a very interesting speech. A certain person was speaking, and he was off the record, and he said, "Go ask presidents of the United States or people, great people who have risen to great power and honor and prestige, what did you do in your life? In your life, that you can say was a zechus." That you've earned this enormous kavod and prestige and honor that you've received. What? So you know they asked this to different people. So this person said he studied, this was many years ago, he studied in detail Bush W. Okay, the second Bush, George Bush W, this is the second. And he's president of the United States for 8 years. It's impressive. President of the United States, the leader of the free world, what did you do to deserve it? What schus did you have to deserve? So he didn't say, I don't know if they asked it. So this person said, I studied his life. I read up on him everything there is to read about. There's one thing that hits me very much. When he was little, he had a brother, I think. Right? He had a brother that was killed. Is that true? I'm pretty sure Bush, the old Bush, they had a child.
Died as a child.
And his mother, who looks like George Washington, right? Barbara Bush, she was in deep mourning, as can be expected, on the loss of her child. And George W. was a little boy. He must have been at that point, like I think something like 7, 8 years old. And his friends came over to play, and they said, "Let's go play." And he said to them, "I can't go. I want to be with my mother. My mother is very sad. She's in the state of tsar. And I want to be with her. I want to be menachem her. I want to give her comfort." This is all conjecture. This is all... So this person, this is a Rav. I don't even know who this person was. He was saying, and I read up... I don't know if he was a Rav. What was he, Rav? He was an interesting person. I read up on Bush, and this, it really... I just can't get away from this story. This story, it just somehow... It strikes me. The zechus of a little child having the sensitivity to a grieving mother to say to his friends, "I'm not going to go." Adrabah, a regular child would run from the house to be in a home with mourning. It's just to run and say, "I can't go. I have to be with my mother. I wanna be menachem my mother." He said, "Is an incredible sensitivity of a child, which he feels HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly rewarded him in his life with something very significant." Does it mean he became the president? I don't know, but you don't know what zechus, what little things a person does, which you say, "Wow!" Like it's something that's very small, but yet it's very significant for a person in that situation to react. Here, it's a very small point. We don't understand the background, the circumstances, what was happening, the danger. But Chazal make that point. Chazal, they say, don't make light of this pasuk. And because of this pasuk, Mordechai was zoicha to be what he was and to be a participant in the miracle that will come to Klal Yisrael. And as you mentioned at the end of the pasuk, it all started here where he took concern for an individual who was in a difficult situation with a intensity of uvechol yom v'yom. Okay, let's go further. When it came the time of Narav and Arav Lavoi Lamelech Achashverosh, V'keit Seyos Lo Kedos Hanashim B'Shnei Mosa Chodesh, K'ikein Yimlu Yimei Mikoyen, after the law of the Noshim was passed, which was comprised of 12 months, K'ikein Yimlu Yimei Mikoyen, that was the fullness of their cosmetic treatments, Shishoch Chodoshim B'Shem Min Hamor, V'Shishoch Chodoshim B'Abisamim, there's something called Mor, and there's something called spices, uvis samruki, and there's something called tamruki hanoshim. There are three things: shemen hamar, there are besamim, and then there are cosmetics. Tamruki hanoshim. And this process took 12 months. 6 months for the mar, and 6 months for the besamim and the tamruki hanoshim. Now, there's an interesting comment over here in the Mishnah source that says, from quotes of Medrash, why does it take 12 months to get for cosmetic treatments? Really? 12 months? Today you go to a department store and in 10 minutes you're done. What does it take? It's either you got it or you don't, right? It's either you're naturally beautiful or you're not. Okay, cosmetics. There's only that much you can hide with makeup. Okay, let's be realistic. It's either you got it or you don't. So what's going on over here? So the Medrash says, I don't know if it's the Medrash or Chazal is. This is all a Baba Maisa. This is all just a show. This 12 months. They wanted to make sure the girl was healthy. In a 12 month period of time, it's a guarantee that if you have any health issues, they will come. They will manifest itself.
They want to make sure that none of them were pregnant.
Possibly, we're looking here for a queen. We don't want to go take a queen and then 6 months later find she has a heart condition, and then she needs all of these special services to keep her going, or she has some ailment. And the Gemara says a treif, an animal cannot live. An animal that's a treif will not live more than 12 months. That was the time of Chazal. Okay, so it's all question that Tibizman Azen Shtana Hateva. Today we say Shtana Hateva, but even if you're going to live more than 12 months, it's built into that Maimar Chazal. It is a guarantee that within a person has... A person has a serious condition. You cannot hide a serious condition for more than 12 months. And therefore, that was the real reason why they kept them locked up for 12 months. We're looking for a queen. This wasn't like today, where you can go to the longevity center, and they can do all of these blood tests, and they can right away figure out and do scans and tests, and they can figure out where you're holding enough. They didn't have this sophistication. So the best thing is, let's wait and see. Time heals all wounds. Time also reveals all wounds. Is this true, Dr. Freeman? What? So that's the real reason why they waited 12 months. And it answers the obvious question, like you said, because the makeup, come on. Really? Makeup for 12 months to soften the skin? You apply this, apply that? Okay, you can say out there, shot, I am Panamotar, but it really takes away, it answers a very good question. Okay, now
at the age of 74, she would be losing her beauty as opposed to gaining her beauty.
Of course, that's all. That in general was a mystery. Why a woman who's 74 years old? So I mean, that's a big mystery. No one really knows the answer to that question. Some say she was even 80 years old. Okay, so that we don't know.
She gave birth after that.
She gave birth to Daryavish.
Yeah.
So how do we make sense of all of this? They had some technology then in those days that we are sorely lacking. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says.
One word, Rashi, Zman.
Oh, so Rashi, Tar means Zman. Okay, that's a very unique word for Zman. It's the last letter of the Aleph Beis and the second to last letter of the Aleph Beis. What is time? Time, you only appreciate time in hindsight, right? Time, b'shas maisa, you can't really have an appreciation. Time is sensed, is appreciated in hindsight. You're able to look back in time. Torah is the direction of the very end going backwards. That's maybe why Torah is, we use these two letters to describe the thing called time. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Yud Beis. V'chad matos sidur ulemta, when the arrangement of the young girls, v'ulemta, what?
The turn
of the ulemta of the ulemta lemeal, the turn of each young girl lemeal to enter kada malka achashevosh misof the yehavei la ki hilchas nishaya, like there was a shulchan aruch. A shulchan aruch of makeup, how to apply the makeup, the mesinon besaf nukehoin trei asar yarche, they were provided with different delicacies or different whatever these things are for 12 months, yarche shata arum kedain shalmin yomei, in order to complete within them the yomei sam to rehon. The sam teron is the shemen hamar shisha yarchin. Wait, the sam to rehon is the cosmetics. In order to conclude within these 12 months the cosmetics, shisha yarchin be tachsas, 6 months with the shemen hamar ve anpe kinun dimantar yos seora, which removes the hair. What's the purpose of the Shemen Hamar? Depilatory. To remove the hair on the body. It takes 6 months to remove the hair on the body?
Persians are known to be very hairy, as we see
So it takes 6 months.
Persians in general.
Dove.
Yes,
the bear. Okay, so it takes 6 months. So Rav Targum is telling us the purpose of the Shemen Amor is to remove the hair. Shisha Yarchin. Shisha Yarchin b'tachsas.
Do you think they cover themselves?
The anpe kinun de mantarios sora. And to soften the skin, it serves two purposes: to remove the hair and to soften the skin. And 6 months of besamim to smell, fragrance, and various cosmetics. 6 months to remove the hair and to soften the skin, and 6 months to apply the besamim to bring out a fragrance, a natural fragrance, and to look beautiful through cosmetics. Okay, before we conclude, I just want to make sure. I know I have over here just. Wait 1 second. Here it is. Okay, so this is the Nara v'Nara. Okay, there's one medrash that says something here very interesting to conclude this pasuk. Uvihagia, okay, uvihagia tor Esther na uvihagia na the turn the time uvihagia tor na rov na rov lavo la melchashesh miketz. The medrash picks up on the word miketz. The script for this parasha. This parasha is parashas miketz. The medrash says these people were vain. And therefore we chose the word Miketz because Miketz, Ketz kol bosa bo lefonai. In the time of the Mabul, Hashem said to Noach, Ketz kol bosa bo lefonai ki mol aretz chamas, v'hini mashkisam,
es
pnei adam. So in the time of the Mabul, the term Hashem used to describe the end has come is the word Ketz. Ketz kol bosa bo lefonai. The Medrash says the end has come because we're living in a generation where people are consumed with themselves. So the Medrash over here says this generation came that close. They were living, we're living the time of the Mabul. Just like right before the Mabul, people had enormous bracha, blessing. Hashem blessed this world with incredible bracha. And what do people take the bracha for themselves? They refuse to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly what's happening over here in Persia at this time. These women, they were being pampered for 12 months and all of these delicacies and food, and diet and perfumes, cosmetics, indulgence, and they were completely consumed with themselves. No acknowledgement is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything is about me, myself, and I. My beauty, my food. Such a life, an approach to life was exactly the way that people lived right before Hashem destroyed the world in the generation of the Mabul. And that's why the Pasuk selected Miketz. We're dealing here with the ultimate vanity. The ultimate vanity in of civilization as we know it. Okay, the last thing just to mention is over here the trop. There's a very famous reference. The trop will this for later on, but it says when the young girls would come, Vagia Tar, Narav v'Nara, the trop is Kadma v'Yazla. Narav v'Nara, they were very eager. Kadma v'Yazla in English means they were coming and going, but Kadma means they were to proceed. They went ahead. They were eager. They could not wait for their turn to go to Achashverosh. Ulai, maybe Achashverosh will select me as queen. But in the next pasuk, we have not got up to yet, the next pasuk, when it tells us about Esther, we'll have to go jump ahead a few pasuk, later on pasuk tezvah, v'giyat ha-resev ha-sechal, dod Mordechai, there it's all a munach. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 times with munach. She was in no rush. Munach means to rest.
Passive.
She's no rush. That's the difference between the Na'arav and Na'ara. The Na'arav and Na'ara, they were in a rush to go before Achashverosh. But Esther was in no rush. It was Munach. Adarabba, she wished she never had to go before Achashverosh. This is what the Gross says to explain the difference in the Chub. Chub also is the Torah to explain every single Chub. Okay, we'll stop over here.